If you walk into a contemporary art gallery in Dubai today, there are certain things you just expect to see.
Oh, absolutely. You expect glowing screens, maybe some, AI-generated conceptual visuals.
Right, because you are in a hyper-modern metropolis. It's built on glass and steel and immense wealth, so you expect this overwhelming sense of technological luxury.
Yeah, you definitely do not expect to see a muddy, freezing kind of pixelated image of a Colombian farmer walking his pack horses down a dirt path.
Exactly. I mean, how does the guy covered in Andean mud end up projected into a digital skyscraper in the Middle East?
Well, the journey to get that image into that specific room is phenomenal. It requires pulling a forgotten, anonymous piece of data out of the endless digital ocean we all scroll through every day and, giving it profound physical weight.
Which is exactly what we are tracking today for this deep dive. We are looking at the personal notes and the creative process of artist Jairo Duque.
Specifically focusing on a piece he titled Uno Campesino, which is from his larger series called Tres Dios.
Right. And our mission today is to figure out how this image travels from a foggy Colombian mountainside through a studio in California into an algorithm and finally under those high-tech gallery spotlights in Dubai.
And along the way, we're going to see how this single piece of art serves as a masterclass in recognizing the invisible silent forces that actually keep our comfortable modern world from collapsing.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating journey. But to understand how this image reached the apex of global luxury, we actually have to start in the dirt.
Literally in the dirt, we have to look at the physical materials Duke used to anchor this digital file into reality.
And his notes do this really interesting thing. They don't just give us a dry technical spec sheet. They actually name these materials as the identity reference of the artwork itself.
Right. The physical identity of the artwork is crucial here. The materials are the actual DNA of the piece.
So Duke painted this in Whittier, California. It's a 15 by 11 inch watercolor, and he uses Daniel Smith paints.
Which are famous for their really heavy granulating pigments.
Yeah, exactly. But the detail that really caught my attention as the core of this identity reference is the paper. He paints this on Arch's 640 gram cold pressed rough paper.
And for anyone who hasn't spent time in a fine arts supply store, we definitely need to unpack what those terms actually mean in practice.
Right, because standard professional grade watercolor paper usually hovers around what, 300 grams?
Yeah, usually 300. And if you take that standard 300 gram paper and flood it with water, the cellulose fibers actually start to panic.
Panic, like the paper literally buckles.
Exactly. It warps, the water runs into uncontrollable puddles, and the structure of your painting just collapses. But 640 gram paper is a completely different beast.
It's super thick, right?
I mean, it is essentially cardboard.
Yeah.
It can endure an absolute deluge of water and stay completely rigid.
And the cold press rough part is just as vital for the identity of the piece. That means the surface isn't smooth. It has these microscopic peaks and valleys.
Right, so when you flood it, the heavy pigments physically settle deep into those tiny craters. It creates this heavily textured, almost gritty look.
You know, when I read about this heavy cratered paper enduring a flood, my mind immediately went to a plowed field.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Like, think about a terrace in the mountains that has been worked by human hands for generations. When a violent storm hits, that plowed, resilient earth is prepared for it. It doesn't wash away in a landslide.
It absorbs the deluge.
Right. It takes the water deep into itself so that the ecosystem survives.
And that physical resilience opens up technical possibilities that thinner paper would just destroy. Because this dense paper basically mimics the resilient Andean earth, Duke can use what are called heavy washes.
So he just soaks it.
He literally floods the paper with massive amounts of water and pigment. He doesn't sit there with a tiny brush, delicately painting every single leaf or stone.
He lets the water do the heavy lifting.
Exactly, just as the soil does with the harsh rains of the Andes. The material itself is enduring the climate of the painting.
And this extreme capacity to absorb water brings up a really fascinating part of his notes. Duke engages in this very vulnerable self-critique about his process.
He does. He admits that by letting the water take over, he consciously privileged the stain over the drawing.
Meaning he allows the pigment to bleed and expand naturally through those rough fibers.
Right, and in doing so, he takes a massive artistic risk. He intentionally abandons what artists call spatial hierarchy.
Which is usually how a painting guides your eye, right? By
Oh, yeah.
making the foreground sharp and detailed while the background is slightly blurry.
Precisely. Duke ruins that hierarchy by flooding the whole thing. The structural lines dissolve and the painting can actually border on looking messy or unfinished.
So why would a skilled artist deliberately take that risk? I mean, why choose the unpredictable blur over a clean, crisp structural line that proves your technical skill?
Well, because artistic vulnerability reveals deeper truths. We really have to consider the specific geography he is capturing here.
He's painting the essence of the Cundiboyacense region, right? The high-altitude plateaus of Cundinamarca and Boyacá in the Colombian Andes.
Yeah, which is an incredibly harsh environment. We are talking about pure, pervasive humidity, thick fog that rolls constantly down the mountains.
And a biting, heavy cold that just sinks into your bones.
Exactly. So if Duke had drawn perfect, hard-edged botanical leaves on the trees, it would have looked completely artificial to anyone who actually knows that region.
It would look like plastic.
Right. You cannot see perfect hard edges through thick mountain fog. By privileging the stain, he embeds the freezing, heavy atmosphere directly into the artwork.
The blurriness is the lyrical truth of the environment.
Yes. The viewer is meant to physically feel that damp cold when they look at the expanded pigment.
That focus on the raw truth of the environment leads into something I really struggled with when I first looked at the piece, which is the color palette.
Oh, the colors are so intentional here.
Because when international audiences think of Latin American rural art, we have been deeply conditioned to expect a very specific spectacle, you know?
Right. We expect magical realism.
Exactly. We want fluorescent yellow ponchos and possibly bright blue skies, just a constant, vibrant visual explosion, something out of a Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel or a Fernando Botero painting.
But Duque entirely refuses to provide that spectacle.
He uses incredibly muddy, broken tones, dark greens, heavy ochres, dull grays. I don't think there's a single pure, bright primary color popping out of frame.
Not a single one.
So if the entire goal of this series is to honor and dignify this rural worker, this campesino, I initially thought that making the colors so dull and muddy almost robs him of his protagonist status.
You'd think so, right? Like a bright color would highlight him.
Right. Wouldn't a bright red shirt help him stand out and be seen by the viewer?
Well, putting him in a bright red shirt or a fluorescent poncho would instantly turn him into an isolated icon.
Oh, I see.
The peasant would become a caricature. He'd be wearing a picturesque costume, perfectly designed to be an exotic souvenir for a global tourist.
It creates an idealized, mythical version of rural life that just does not actually exist for the person living it.
Exactly. It turns reality into a postcard. So by breaking the colors with those muddy grays and earth tones, Duke actively defies those visual cliches.
He forces the colors of the peasant's clothing to visually merge with the landscape itself.
Yes, the peasant and the earth belong to the exact same world. They are anchored in a crude, genuine reality. The light in the high Andes isn't a bright, tropical Caribbean sun.
No, it's a soft, constant light filtered through heavy clouds.
Right. So muddying the palette pulls the peasant down from that mythical, tourist-friendly pedestal and grounds him in the actual physical mud of his daily labor.
It shows he is inextricably woven into that harsh environment. And because the peasant is so camouflaged into the mud, you stop looking for a heroic portrait and you start looking at what he's actually doing.
Which is just moving.
Right. We are looking at a stone path, some traditional houses, and right in the center, the peasant is advancing forward with his pack horses. There is absolutely no glamour in it.
It feels like an unposed, stolen instant.
Almost like a frame grabbed from a security camera in a rural village. It's just someone moving from point A to point B.
And Duke refers to this specific action as daily persistence. The peasant is caught right in the middle of his grinding, unglamorous routine.
Now, this is where the artist's notes make a massive conceptual leap. He states that the steady, unremarkable movement of the peasant just walking horses down a muddy path functions as a metaphor for the national peace processes in Colombia.
It's a bold connection.
I have to admit, I struggle with that connection a bit. I mean, how do we get from a guy walking horses in the mud to a complex national peace treaty?
Well, when we think of peace processes, we usually envision politicians in expensive suits shaking hands, right?
Right, signing massive documents in European capitals, posing for the press.
But that view assumes peace is purely a political invention. Duke's assertion is that political peace is fundamentally hollow without material stability.
Okay, let's unpack that.
If we look neutrally at the historical and socioeconomic context of Colombia, the rural sector has historically been the epicenter of instability and conflict. While urban centers have largely been shielded, The rural populations have borne the absolute brunt of the violence for decades.
They are the ones actually living in the theater of conflict.
Exactly. Yet despite being the most vulnerable, the peasant never stops transiting those paths. He continues to move. He continues to harvest the food and work the land.
Duke calls him the silent actor.
Yes. Because the stark reality is that a piece of paper signed by politicians does not feed a society.
You can't eat a treaty.
Exactly. If that peasant stops working, if he stops his daily persistence of walking those pack horses down that dirt path, the agricultural supply chains break.
And the cities starve.
Yes. And the moment the cities starve, any political peace treaty instantly collapses under the weight of civil unrest. His unglamorous, muddy routine is not just a job, it is the physical infrastructure of the entire country.
So his persistence is the base reality that makes any concept of national peace remotely possible.
Exactly.
His daily movement is the heartbeat keeping the whole organism alive, even while the rest of the body completely ignores him.
Right, and understanding that the peasant is the silent engine of the entire society drastically shifts the weight of this painting.
Which brings us full circle to the artwork's final super jarring destination. The timeline and geography of this journey just move incredibly fast.
The speed of it really highlights the surreal nature of the global art market today.
So a digital photo of a Colombian peasant is found, and the physical watercolor is painted in Whittier, California in March 2024. Just 1 month later, in April 2024, that exact artwork is picked up by a digital platform called Artboxy.
And it is exhibited on digital screens at the Andakilova Gallery in Dubai.
It goes from a studio in California to the heart of the Middle East in a matter of weeks, driven entirely by digital infrastructure.
Yeah. Platforms like Artboxy use algorithms to curate and distribute art globally. It allows physical pieces to be digitized and projected into spaces the artists themselves might never physically visit.
But I see a massive contradiction here. I mean, we have a painting that fundamentally defends tactile earth, manual labor, stepping in the mud, and the heavy physical reality of rural life.
Right.
Yet it was born from a digital algorithm finding a pixelated photo, and it ends up projected on digital screens in a hyper-capitalist city built on desert sand and pure technology.
It does seem counterintuitive.
Doesn't the artist risk completely selling out his own message by feeding this humble peasant right back into the ultra-modern global digital machinery?
I get why you'd say that. It looks like a paradox on the surface. But analyzing the mechanism of how these platforms function reveals it as a brilliant digital rescue and, honestly, a masterful conceptual hack.
A hack? How so?
Think about the alternative. If Duke rejected modern digital tools out of some sense of artistic purism-like, if he declared that because this subject is mud, the medium must remain completely disconnected from the internet, what happens to the peasant?
He stays invisible.
Exactly. He remains just a guy on a path that no one outside his immediate village ever sees or considers.
So by actively plugging the reality of rural Andean life into hyper-modern global luxury, the artist is forcing a brutal clash of realities.
Yes. He takes the silent actor and puts him on the biggest, brightest, most technologically advanced stage possible. Audiences in Dubai are surrounded by artificial intelligence, glass skyscrapers, and an economy heavily insulated from the dirt and mud of manual agriculture.
So projecting this muddy, freezing reality into that pristine space makes them stop in their tracks.
It forces them to look directly at the humble origins of human subsistence.
He is basically sneaking the mud into the pristine digital palace. The technology doesn't erase the message. The technology acts as a giant megaphone for it.
Exactly. The digital algorithm, which usually feeds us endless, mindless content to swipe past, is hijacked here. It's used to force a hyper-connected elite to acknowledge the tactile manual labor that underpins their survival.
It bridges two worlds that are usually kept strictly separated by economics and geography.
And this digital rescue proves that dignifying manual labor is not just a localized Colombian issue, it is a universal necessity.
Because regardless of how technologically advanced or insulated our cities become, the skyscrapers still rely on the daily persistence of the people working the earth.
100%.
So we started with a lost, anonymous digital file floating around the internet. We watched it get anchored into 640 resilient grams of cardboard-thick paper, acting like a plowed field ready for a storm.
We waded through muddy, broken Andean colors that actively fought against our desire for tourist cliches and magical realism.
We discovered that a guy walking horses is actually the silent beating backbone of national peace. And then we beamed that whole muddy reality right into a digital skyscraper in Dubai.
It really forces us to confront how much of our modern comfort relies on invisible labor, and you know how art can demand visibility for the people we routinely overlook.
It totally changes how you process the images you consume every day. We've talked about how art has the power to take a random, pixelated file, pull it out of the void, and restore all its profound, heavy human weight.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
So, for everyone listening, think about your own daily digital scrolling. Think about that endless feed you swipe through on your phone. How many of these silent actors do you swipe past with your thumb every single day?
That's a heavy question.
How many people whose daily persistence and muddy, unglamorous routines actually keep your comfortable modern world from collapsing do you completely ignore? Something to ponder next time you reach for your screen. Until next time.